Thank you for listening to Two Bulls in a China Shop. If you enjoyed this conversation, please let us know by rating and subscribing on your platform of choice. And if you want more, you can check us out at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number two.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Please hold the applause.
Hold your applause to the end, folks.
How did that get in there? I feel a lot better now.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on the traditional medieval revelry of trumpets.
Oh. Can you play the trumpet too? I know you play a lot of instruments.
I can make noises on the trumpet, but I would have to actually like practice the fingerings and the lung pressure to truly learn it. But I could play love. Hot cross buns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's pretty impressive. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Getting ready to go half-ass at a 9-to-5 job. The quiet quitting, as it were.
I love it. I got to have that time to trade.
I actually made a joke last night that was very unsettling to my staff. They were unsure because I looked at the offices of all the upper managers. And I was like, I wonder what would happen if somebody just lied their way into a job and then as a boss. And then when people said, hey, what should I do here? And all they ever answered was, what do you think we should do? And then they all start laughing and then they all look at each other. They're like, wait, that is what he's doing.
That's what you've been doing.
Yeah. When they all come to me with a problem, I'm like, well, what do you think we should do?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Most of the time, they know what to do. They just need a boss to be like, yeah, that's go ahead, do it.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot of times people just want to know that you're going to have their back, but I don't know that you're putting off the aura of sticking up for the employees right now.
I feel like DiCaprio as the doctor in that Catch Me If You Can movie.
Which part was that?
Where he's basically just asks all the other doctors, like, doctor, I've got this, and he's like, well, what do you think we should do?
Yeah.
I think we should do this procedure. He's like, all right, let's do it.
I hope you didn't ruin the movie joke.
No. Wait, what? No. Oh, God. I probably should have. I should have done Catch Me If You Can. Anyway.
I know, right?
Come on to the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, hedge against that rage machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way through a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cutting losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge and resource centers on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our many beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description for you. Best place to be is go hop on over to the Discord server. Lots of amazing people on there every day. It's a really awesome place to be. And it's a free Discord server. No paid tiers or special access areas. Cue the applause. And when you do join our server, send a private message or email with your mailing address so we can send you some smash it yourself swag straight from the shop. We're really glad you're here. It's a lot of fun. Always better with friends.
Always better.
Always better. It's really a wonderful time. Just a wonderful time. And Kyle, speaking of wonderful times, we got any show news report?
I do, but it's not exactly the right segue for it.
Kyle, speaking of sad, dark times, do you have any show news to report?
Well, I mean, okay. Now that we just prefaced that the wrong way, episode 6 of Trade Runners is coming out Monday. That's the good news. The bad news is I was supposed to record with Drew Spavetna for next week's episode, and we ended up having to postpone and push him back a month because half his house burned down.
Oh, which half?
I don't know. Does it matter? Like, either you can't sleep or you can't eat.
that's wild. That's wild. Yeah. Sorry to hear about that.
Which the inside half, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah, because it was the outer 50%. He might still be good for a while.
Yeah. Well, it does sound like nobody was hurt, though. I mean, that's why we can kind of joke a little bit about it.
That's wild,
hope he doesn't
man.
Listen to this.
I don't think we've ever had a guest not show because their house burned down.
No, normally they just
don't show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. So next time somebody doesn't, you know, at least let us know why they can't show up. I'm going to point out that, hey, fucking Drew's house burned down. He still managed to get the email off to reschedule. Like, I'm going to need to see some better commitment from you guys. Oh, and then the next thing we got is the next roundtable. We've got Eric Mason coming back, joining me and Eric. We'll be discussing why economists don't trade and then taking any trading questions that people have for an economist to answer. Things like, you know, what economic news should you actually pay attention to, or, you know, what is the Fed policy?
Or if advertising doesn't have an effect, explain the fashion industry.
If you are pro advertising, then we'd love to hear from you, because I know Eric would love to field a lot of those questions. If I could hit him with like five of those and just waste.
That's my main question. Fashion, explain it.
Right. Oh God.
The price of Nike Air Jordans.
Yeah.
Without marketing, explain.
Right.
Actually, that one does have an explanation as the secondhand market, supply and demand. Anyway, folks, we got a lingering, lily-livered, limber show for you today. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than banks going belly up.
What's the count now? Three?
Three, Jim. Count them. Three.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not looking good, is it?
We'll talk more about that later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Reach out to us. We do love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, over on our Discord server, especially. Got the link in the episode description for you. If you're old school, you can just send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe rogue scientists have fused your body with a classic muscle car, and now you have to fight and cause crimes from behind the wheel, whether it be in the jungle, on the cliffs, maybe even outer space.
This either sounds like Herbie or some one of those Transformer movies I never watched.
I haven't seen any of these films, so I may be.
Oh, you're just making it up. This is what I think the movie's
about.
There's
9 of them.
Oh, Fast and the Furious?
Is that
what the latest one is?
Is Vin Diesel not fused to that car? Is that not why he's always taking it everywhere he goes?
Oh, no. I figured that's how they explained the Paul Walker's death.
Oh, he is the car now.
Yeah. That's the easy way to do it, right? Jack Black TV show that never went anywhere. With the talking motorcycle.
I never saw or heard of that.
Oh, I'll send you a link.
Okay. All right. It's time to talk about the bet results.
Yeah, let's clear this up. This is from 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a bet last week. Joel, I'm sorry, buddy. He wanted to go long GPS gap. They opened the week at 1302 and then decided to practice cliff diving. They closed last Friday at 1087. This Friday, I think, is looking even worse. Let's see. Yeah, closed at 970. I guess the bleeding has stopped. Luckily, Joel had a tight stop, so we exited that at 1235. It takes our total down to 474.27. And then Random picked one of the strongest stocks I think I've ever looked at since we've been doing this show. FRO opened at 1855 on Monday, closed the week at 1793. So even with that sell-off 2 weeks ago, it still managed to hold up. Random sits at 483.29. So if we lose this month, Joel is graciously volunteered to step in and do the consequences for us.
Oh, I guess that means we'll have to make him extra nice so we don't lose Joel as a listener.
He was hoping that we'd stick him with watching The Princess Bride, because that was the movie metaphor that I used, and he didn't.
The terrible consequence of
yeah, that's what I said.
Watch Princess Bride.
I said, no way, buddy. That's too easy. That's
no,
too good.
We'll make him watch only the Peter Falk, Fred Savage scenes. Got to watch Princess Bride. Whatever the runtime is, he just has to keep watching those scenes until the entire runtime.
Oh no,
that's a consequence.
Are you suggesting we throw the rest of the month? I didn't think about that, did you, Joel? All right. Well, we might have a real bet pick coming up at the end.
All right. All right. Start to feel good about this bet all of
right,
a sudden.
Right, right. All right. Should we move on?
Yeah. Let's, before we talk about the news, let's take a second to thank our sponsors and friends at Manscaped, Trade Pro Academy, and Order Flow Labs.
Thank you, friends.
By now, everybody knows Manscaped is great down south. We were actually, just before we hit record, talking about how the Manscaped beard trimmers that they sent are really good. They're really nice. Yes. They're high quality. They use that high quality silicone like you'd get in a really expensive sex toy. Like,
yes,
really.
Yes. Right. Just, right, it's just got that heft and that feel. Like, this is going to do some damage.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can trim my beard, and I can get
No. We can't. No.
I can trim my beard, and my beard will look good.
You can trim your beard. Yes, you can. I don't know how much of this is going to make it.
Oh, we do have an exclusive offer of 20% off with free worldwide shipping using our promo code #2bulls at manscaped.com. As always, that's the number two. And you know what else also has the heft and feel of a high-quality sex toy? Institutional quality trading education over at tradeproacademy.com.
Oh, really reaching on that segue. I like reach around.
That was a Fast of the Furious level car jump right there.
Yeah. Crash and burn.
Over in our free Discord server, you'll find instructions to take advantage of our discount with them if you want to learn all of the technical analysis and institutional quality trade secrets. Not really secrets, but the best place to sit down and get to know them is tradeproacademy.com.
And Vico just updated the futures course, so I'm looking forward to diving into that here in a bit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Likewise. There's several new courses he just updated.
Yeah.
And for everybody out there trading futures with us, definitely want to check out those custom tools and studies at orderflowlabs.com. And if you've listened to any of our trading series with those guys, you'll know that they're legit. They know what they're doing.
All right, should we get into some news?
Do it. Let's get into some news.
I guess we have to start with bank news, right?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Banks well,
I heard a couple of banks did some things, maybe.
Yeah, SVB has been delisted. It's been suspended. Like, there's no trading on it. The wife actually sent me something about, like, Robinhood wasn't going to honor all the options contracts that were outstanding on it because they couldn't. I guess they didn't have the ability to.
I saw something about that.
Yeah. I should probably pull that story up, actually. Forgot all about it. Okay, so when this is actually Signature stock that this was on. It was Signature Bank. They stopped trading on Monday after regulators closed the bank on Sunday. So the traders who had bet against the shares using put options that expired that Friday were in a difficult position, or expire on Friday. The brokers were faced with a logistical nightmare that could have resulted in correct bets expiring worthless. So Robinhood had been trying to say that they weren't going to do it, but it looks like enough pressure was put on them to force them to honor those positions. It's weird how they did it, though. So rather than like expiring them for cash, I think they're actually like giving them a short position. And I don't know if you know, but it takes a lot of capital to short a stock. So I think there's a lot of people who might get kind of screwed out of that, too.
Right, because they bought a put, which is an insurance contract for shares you have. But if you don't have the shares, somebody's got a short to give you the shares.
And then there's no way to close them out either because they're not trading right now. So
so it's Robinhood selling naked puts to people that messed it up.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Or people buying naked puts and not knowing how to handle what to do when the trading was suspended.
Right. Like trading suspended, so I can't buy the shares to sell them to you.
Yeah. So it looks like they're allowing people to choose to exercise them. But if they don't have enough shares to cover to exercise, they're going to be short the shares. And they may be stuck being short until the trading is resumed. And that's a lot of time. It's a lot of time to go by. I don't know that I like that answer.
I don't know that I feel bad for Robinhood at all.
Fuck Robinhood. I'm talking about people. Like, would you want to take a short position on a bank that's been suspended?
But it would have to be Robinhood that's taking the short position.
No, they're giving the shares to the people who exercise their options.
Okay, so I buy a put that I don't have 100 shares for.
Yeah.
If I'm going to exercise that contract, I buy 100 shares and then sell them at the put price. I buy them low, wherever it's at now, or a crate or two.
No, you don't even have to buy them. You just, if you execute it, it's just going to give you a short position.
It's giving me a short position that's already in the money?
I mean, well, they're not trading at zero, right? Because they're not trading. Like, if they never come back, then you'd be all right. You never have to repay those shares. But what happens if they announce something that saves the bank? Like, there's going to be a lot of people holding short positions. They're going to have to close those out as soon as that trading resumes.
So just like if the put was like the strike price was at 10 and the stock's at $1, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to exercise your put. So now you're short at 10.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's another good point. I don't know how far it did drop or I'm just thinking of, I don't know.
Yeah. Fucking crazy, man.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's not a position I want to be in. That's basically all I can really say, I guess. That's one of the things I saw with this. SVB has announced it's seeking Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
SVB? What's that?
Silicon Valley Bank. That's the one that actually failed, or that failed first.
Golly, Kyle, how could a bank fail?
I know, right?
They have all the money.
Oh, God, I know.
If only there were laws in place to require have certain capital requirements.
There are, or used to be.
Oh, there did used to be a Dodd-Frank Act. It wasn't even that old, God damn it.
Yeah, there was a phrase mentioning regulatory failures in the joint statement released by the Fed, the Treasury Department, and the FDIC, and the government wanted that in there, but Powell fought to get it taken out. Like, no, we're not admitting to any wrongdoing here.
Like, oh, this wasn't regulatory failure.
Yeah.
I saw a thing, I was listening to a thing where they were like, look, just because there's no lock on the liquor cabinet doesn't mean it doesn't give teenagers carte blanche to drink. And my first thought was like, well, if you unlock the liquor cabinet before you go on vacation, you shouldn't expect those teenagers to not drink.
I know, right?
Like, yes, you're right. Yeah. We should be able to just trust banks to
What a perfect
stay solvent
fantasy world you live in.
But it's not like we passed those regulations because we felt like it. It was right after a fucking crash.
If I dropped $10,000 on the street, I should be able to go back and find it there because nobody would take something that isn't theirs.
Yes, you really should. You should, Kyle. And damn it, if this was Vlad the Impaler's Wallachia.
Oh, fuck yeah, then it would.
It would be there.
There'd be a whole other host of problems go with that, though. let's see. Last thing I wanted to touch on is just this First Republic Bank deal that got announced here. I don't know if you saw anything about this. It's actually kind of nuts.
It's a different bank that's failing?
That's not going to fail now, apparently.
Hoorah!
First Republic. So 11 lending giants led by JP Morgan and Bank of America are providing unsecured deposits to the San Francisco bank. They're sending them $30 billion to help stabilize them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. JP Morgan, Bank of America involved, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. They all put in $5 billion apiece. Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley kicked in $2.5 billion. U.S. Bancorp, Truist, PNC, State Street, Bank of New York Mellon all each deposited $1 billion each. So they have to stay at First Republic for 120 days and earn interest at the same rate of current depositors occurring to a person familiar with the agreement. This was stamped by Jerome Powell and Janet Yellen. They both very much like the show of support between the large banks, but this is more scary to me than anything else. You got to ask yourself, what's the incentive for large banks to prop up another failing bank?
Yeah. Is it them trying to save their own?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. If they're trying to do something. They're trying to save the sector. I think there's bigger worries in this sector than people are thinking right now.
Well, remember, that was the first lesson I learned with Enron.
Oh?
Was one bad apple can sink the sector.
Oh, that's a good point. You know, and that's kind of how it happened when 2008, wasn't it? Wasn't there one? You know, we had something fail, and then
Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, it was like 6 months later when the crash actually happened.
Yeah, it was the first domino. So I was actually talking to Jamie Lynn about buying some long-term puts on some banks.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Though, now that we're talking about it, I don't have the link to any article, but I was reading some stock stuff on Reddit that was saying that the bigger banks are having inflows of cash.
Oh, yes.
People are like, yes. Regional banks, fuck you, pull their money out of the regional bank and go and put it in like Chase.
And some of that was from what Yellen was saying. I think like people would ask her, I don't know if this was just a clip I saw where I saw this, but it was like, okay, so the big banks, you know, you're going to honor the deposits to make all the people who have their deposits in their hole. Are you going to do that for the regional banks? She said, no. Oh, so there's different set of rules for big banks versus regional banks.
Yikes.
Like, that's the takeaway from that. Like, you hear somebody say something like that. Yeah, you're going to pull your money out of the regional banks and stick it in the bigger one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bank of America saw over $15 billion. I think they're still waiting to see from the other bigger ones what sort of inflows they've seen. But it's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's them just feeling guilty. They're just returning the extra deposits they got.
Here you go. We're like, sorry. You could
have, here's a slice of the $15 billion I just raked in.
Didn't Credit Suisse also get a big loan to shore up their liquidity?
From the Swiss bank, I think, or the Swiss government.
Yeah, the government.
Yeah, bank. Yeah, yes. Yeah, saw that too. Fuck Credit Suisse. Yeah. Oh wait. Actually, I got Coil Spotting was kind enough to tell us how to properly pronounce that.
Okay. Suisse.
Sorry, Coil. I'm looking for your message.
Stussy.
Credit Suisse. That is the proper pronunciation. Credit Suisse. Thanks, Coil Spotting.
If you pretend you're French and you have a cigarette in your hand, it's Credit Suisse.
Credit Suisse.
Okay. Well, you know, on that topic, though, it was less of a story and more of a direct link to the St. Louis Fed Economic Research economic data page.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you the graph of the total assets owned by the Fed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can see the COVID jump from $4 trillion to $7
trillion. Oh, there's a nice jump in the last 2 weeks, too.
And that's why I bring it up, because we peaked at almost $9 trillion back in April of 2022. And we've kind of been had this downward thing. We got all the way down to $8.3 trillion, and that was March 8th, and then March 15th data comes in, and we're spiking up to $8.64 trillion.
So quantitative easing is done.
Yeah, we're going up again, and it's not like a like a little bit. Like it's a
that's a decent jump.
If you zoom in on the graph.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks small when you're talking about trillions, but that's 300 billion, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And so they're adding to their balance sheet again. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign to me. And I didn't see any news articles about this. Somebody posted this graph on Reddit asking, like, has anybody seen any news about this?
I was looking for that. I couldn't find anything either because I thought I had heard somebody talking about it too.
Yeah, breaking news, folks. You heard it here on in the China Shop first.
All right. You got anything else for us?
Just that Bank of America is showing cash, having a huge inflow, which is a nice way of saying like, people are pulling their money out of the markets to the tune of $112 billion this week.
No, Jesus Christ.
Following Silicon Valley. Equities had a $26 million outflow. $2.3 billion were pulled out of bonds.
Oof.
Gold is up $600 million, though.
So treasuries are dropping, too.
It's getting crazy. But they said there has been no equity capitulation.
So people aren't, they're still holding their stocks. Is that what that means?
Well, at the very least, retail's still buying the dip.
Well, I think with FOMC coming out next week, this should be really, really interesting to see how this new data gets interpreted. I think right now we're predicting a quarter rate or quarter bip hike, 25 bip hike. I'd seen it as, you know, split 50-50 at the peak between no hike and 25 bip.
Mm.
But yeah, the 50 bip looks to be off the table according to the funds rate futures.
Well, according to Dan and his gut, I will say it like I said it before. Every time Powell speaks this year, it's bad news.
Oh, boy.
So far, I've been right.
Right. Sooner or later, he'll turn back into a dove, right?
I mean, he's due, man. We're due.
I know. Oh, Jesus.
Just keep pulling this slot. You'll get there.
It's funny. He's been saying hawkish things, but the market's still been reacting positively to a lot of it lately. It's so weird. All right. Should we move on and maybe do some advertising?
Let's do it.
Celebrate some capitalism.
Woo-woo.
Yay. And we can do a song. Let's see, the one I got here that, well, fuck, should I lead off with Bank of America? Bank of America is trying to buy Signature Bank on Monday.
Ooh.
I just saw that come through breaking news, 2 hours ago. Bell Ackman on a tweet on Friday said B of A is going to acquire Signature Bank on Monday without citing the source of information. Oh, okay. So there's no, it's not confirmed yet, but, yeah, look.
It is the exact kind of behavior you would expect when smaller banks are struggling right. to start to fail.
Yeah, the rest of that tweet went that Unless and until we can protect uninsured deposits, the cost of capital is going to rise for smaller banks, pushing them to merge or be acquired by the SIBs. I don't think this is good for America. Mm-mm. I mean, good for Bank of America, probably.
Good. Yeah, but that's just a name. They're not actually a nationalized bank.
No, they're not. All right, what do you got for us today?
The CEO of OpenAI has come out and said, we're a little bit scared when it comes to the risks of artificial intelligence. So OpenAI, the people that put together ChatGPT, or as I like to call it, a college paper writing bot.
The worst newspaper editor in the world. Yeah.
Most people get out of prison in great shape with a good education.
Oh, just kind of glossed over all the other downfalls.
And maybe a couple of tattoos and some trauma. Maybe.
A lot of trauma.
Mostly trauma. He's out there saying regulators and society need to be involved with the tech, with AI, to guard against the negative consequences for humanity. It's always strange to me when the CEO of a company says, can you come in and regulate me, please?
Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying regulate our competitors? we're doing it right. We need regulations for the other guys.
To directly quote him, I'm particularly worried that these models could be used for large-scale disinformation. Now that they're getting better at writing computer code, they could be used for offensive cyber attacks.
Oh, Jesus.
So he's saying that their AI is now writing code. So take that, computer programmers.
Oh, we've been, the Discord's been playing around with using it to write studies. It's fucking incredible.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to have some knowledge in order to like figure out the errors. And sometimes it'll get stuck in loops where it'll be like, oh, this... Like, you just basically say, like, hey, I got this error from the code you gave me. I'm like, oh, that's because of this, this, and this. Here, let me try rewriting that for you using this version instead. Hmm. And it spits that out, and then you punch it in. If you got another error, you say, I got this error. And it says, oh, that's because. Hmm. So sometimes you get in a loop where it bounces back and forth, but it's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah. Well, he claims it's the greatest technology humanity has yet developed. They've released their latest version less than 4 months after the original version was released. It's become the fastest growing consumer application in history.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I got 90% on the bar exams.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
And a near perfect score on the high school SAT math test, which that's better than us, Kyle.
I don't know. We did pretty good.
We did good, but we didn't do perfect.
No, we did not.
No, we didn't do fucking or near perfect. Fucking ChatGPT.
Yeah, I remember somebody named Noble developed a technology that changed the world back in the 1800s, sometime around there, wasn't it?
Talking dynamite?
Yeah, that didn't fare too well either.
Kaboom. I was fine.
Hopefully, Mr. Altman here doesn't have the need to create some sort of world peace prize in the next 10 years.
He's going to feel so bad about what he created that he creates a peace prize so his name isn't related to death and destruction.
Yeah, it's called the Best Human Awards.
Super Best Definitely Real Human Award.
Yes. The person who does the best at CAPTCHA. God.
Yeah, no word on that and how ChatGPT fares with a CAPTCHA.
No. All right, you got anything else?
Just a little puff piece. Ryan Reynolds, we all know the wisecracking actor who played Deadpool. He's got stakes in Aviator Gin and Mint Mobile. Uh-huh. Well, he's looking at a $300 million payout because they're selling Mint Mobile to T-Mobile.
That didn't take long.
No.
I've been getting bombarded by his YouTube commercials, too.
Oh, yeah, that's... And I think he learned it from William Shatner, because William Shatner famously, they were like, hey, come be our spokesman for Priceline. He was like, all right, but pay me in stock, not money.
Ah, nice.
And it ended up making Shatner billions.
Right.
Like, woo. So Ryan Reynolds is like, oh, well, shit. I'll buy a stake in a company and then I'll be the spokesman.
Right.
And it's, yeah, so Aviation Gin and Mint Mobile. I'm pretty sure he sold Aviation Gin too, didn't he?
How's his soccer team doing?
Oh, you're just going to have to watch this TV show to find out.
Yeah, I'm still catching up on season two, I think.
It's pretty engaging, though.
It is. God damn it. I didn't want it to be good. I was like, wait a minute, this is a documentary, but it's still entertaining. Fuck.
Well, I think it's entertaining, especially as Americans who don't know how they do the soccer leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, football leagues to all the listeners across the pond.
Do we have Europe translations?
I don't know. Where's Anthony?
I'll have to look into that.
Oh yeah, here, let me translate it for Anthony. For all those cunts across the pond.
Playing soccer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, right, bastard, soccer playing cunts. Anyway, yeah, he's gonna get about $340 million. His stake is 25%. It doesn't say how much he put down to buy that much in the beginning, but
I'm going to assume it's less than 300 million.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, probably significantly less.
Yeah. I mean, and at this point, that's easier than taking a movie job, right?
Right. Yeah. He's probably thinking, why doesn't everybody do this?
2019, that's like doing two $50 million pictures a year for the last 3 years.
Right, right. Oh, man. Good for him.
Yeah, so T-Mobile, the underlying story is T-Mobile is expanding their brand.
Are they going to honor the $15 contracts that they do, or no contracts, or whatever it is, $15 a line?
I don't know.
Or is that why they want to buy them so badly?
So, yeah, so T-Mobile growing as a conglomerate. It's weird because oftentimes those smaller cell phone companies like Mint will be using T-Mobile towers or Verizon towers. It's always funny to me. But if long story short, zooming out here on the 5-year chart for T-Mobile or even the Max chart, their stock is looking pretty good. It's looking pretty healthy and strong. It's clanging up, trying to break through 150 and stay there.
Have to pin that one for maybe a bet pick.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move on and do some crypto?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, Dan, I've only got one, but it's a doozy.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Our favorite stock picker, Jim Cramer, has decided to branch out, and he's now getting into the crypto calls. He's predicting Bitcoin's imminent demise.
Demise?
Imminent demise.
Imminent demise. Shit.
Yeah. There was a 12% increase in the, I guess, Bitcoin in the 24 hours before he made this statement. He's basically saying that there's no clear use case for Bitcoin. He called it a strange animal and suggested it is being manipulated up.
Oh, not only is it going away, but that Cramer is suggesting it's being manipulated.
Yes.
Jim Manipulation Cramer.
Right?
Fuck. That's weird.
But I think I saw something that that's been proven in the past, or like there's a lot of evidence that has been the case in the past. I think we talked about it a few months ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any qualms against someone saying it's manipulated.
I just have qualms with somebody who's like admitted to manipulating stocks and equities in the past on camera. Throwing shade.
Right, right? Oh, damn it.
Let's see. The other thing that was in there is when he asked if the stress on the banking system and the Federal Reserve strengthened Bitcoin's investment case, he replied, no.
Well, that's, you know, that's crazy. I did see an article that came out March 17th today.
Oh, yeah?
That Kathy Woods and ARK Invest has been raising money for a private cryptocurrency fund.
Oh, she's branching out too.
Yeah. So while he's saying that, Kathy Woods is giving Bitcoin the price target of $500,000 to $1 million over the coming years.
That sounds like Kathy.
So who, at the very least, we could say Kramer is saying Kathy Woods is fucking in cahoots with the people manipulating the price.
Oh, I don't know if you can say that.
Well, I mean, it's a leap I'm willing to take.
Okay.
You got to read with your gut, Kyle.
Oh, jeez.
You're reading with your brain. Yeah. No. There's no direct correlation. But I do find it interesting that we have these two personalities who, before Kramer became a TV guy, he was doing what Kathy Wood's doing.
Right.
Right. Running.
He was a kingmaker in the hedge fund world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in the fund world, hedge fund world, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a tough, it puts you in a tough spot, right? Because going inverse Kathy Woods has been a thing. You know, you got the short arc. They finally released the short Jim Cramer, which is S Jim. Index fund. Like there was another one. It was a separate one that looks at it only for like the first few days after he mentions it, which I think that's what we looked at years ago. We're trying to see how accurate he was.
Yeah.
Like when you, like in the first week after he recommends something, like they tend to tank. Mm-hmm. But because he's recommending him for long-term holds, quote unquote, you wait 5 years in a booming economy and all of his picks look magical, but really you could have picked anything.
Yeah. Yeah, like George would say, you could just pick your initials.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
You do all right. My initials are Delta Airlines.
Mine are kilowatt hours.
Hey, that's true. Yeah. Invest in energy, Kyle. Invest in energy.
I tried to do that when Joel was filling in for you. That would have not worked out very well either.
Should have just shorted banks.
I know, right?
I don't know what you were thinking.
That was before that. Mm. That was before.
Oh, you can't tell the future now?
No, I can tell the past.
Ooh, hey. Captain Hindsight.
All right, what's next on the agenda here?
Oh, I think I'm just going to pull...
Oh!
Damn it.
Try to let you shoot me.
I know. I was getting my gun out. I keep it in the gun safe, all locked up.
I keep mine loaded on my waistband, pointed right at my dick. That's the safest way to carry.
Oh, God. I'm just remembering a Thanksgiving where my brother was sitting there and like I see his gun sticking out of his front of his pants, pointed at his dick. And I'm like, we're fucking eating turkey.
What are you worried about?
What are you worried about, man?
All right.
Anyway.
Do you have any good, bad, ugly to discuss this week?
Yeah, I've been... I don't know if this is good, bad, and the ugly. I'm in the process of leaving my 9-to-5. I'm making good money there, but the place is a total clown show. I can't save it. And I'm kicking myself because as soon as I heard... the SVB bank news,
mm-hmm.
my first inclination was to go short some banks.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I let myself get distracted with other things. And I'm like, damn it, Dan, this is like the first thing you learned in stock school with your energy stock was when the first one goes down, it's going to pull everything around with it, whether the other things are doing bad or not.
Right.
And I'm kicking myself. I guess there's still time, but I feel like the boat already left.
I mean, keep an eye on the sector. I think if we start getting news on the inflows from some of these other banks, that could push them up counter trend.
Yeah.
So it could be something to watch for. Also, it actually could be good for the bigger banks, really, too, because they may be able to start buying some distressed assets and, you know, reducing the consumer choice is one way to put it.
That's true. That is true.
All right. You have any bads or uglies?
No.
I'm assuming the quitting a job is the good.
That is the good. Yeah. Put it in notice. It's just not working. And it's like Jamie Lynn said, like, you're not putting nearly the energy into your shows that you're supposed to be.
Yeah. And they fucking stuck you on graves to die too. It seemed like.
Yeah.
Like, you were supposed to be management. Like, management doesn't work grave shifts unless you're covering.
Well, I am managing a very important chunk of hours into the evening. I'm doing 4 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm the only manager there.
Right. Oh, that's even better. Put the new guy out there alone. That's one way to teach you the ropes.
Yeah, they were just desperate.
Yeah. Well, and also your situation changed too, right? Because you guys managed to sell the other house you're sitting on.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And me, you know, honestly, getting a job was to cover for that. Now that it's covered, like, I should have put in my notice then, but I was like, I can save this. let me turn this around with my brain. And then Jamie Lynn's like, why are you putting all this energy into them? Like, put it into your shit. I'm like, oh, damn it. You're right. Okay. You're right.
Smart. She's a smart girl.
She is, definitely.
All right. My good and bad are kind of related. My focus this past week was on my execution. The week before, I actually printed out a chart to show just how much missed trades cost me. It was 103 points last week.
Ooh.
Or the previous week, yeah. This week, it was only 50. So I managed to improve on that and cut that down in half. The bad is that I still, you know, missed 50 points worth of trades.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's trending in the right direction. That's good. But still battling some emotions. And it's such a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
The first iteration of the UProfit trading this plan, the one that didn't work and blew up, that one was easy to focus on the execution because it was never profitable at any point, I don't think. I think it started off bad and just continued bad.
Okay.
This version started out well, and then now I've got suddenly the emotions to deal with of not wanting to give any of that back. Like, suddenly now there's like, it's closer to the goal, and now like any steps backwards like feels like what Rich used to say, like a referendum against me. And that's something that I've got to figure out. So I guess that could be my ugly, but I think the worst ugly was a trade that happened today. I had a trade that I was short. It went to about 5 ticks away from my take profit and then reversed and came all the way back to wipe me out for a full stop. And that had happened. What makes this ugly is this had happened last week too. And I had been playing around with what I want to do to account for that. Like, okay, we get, you know, close to take, you know, within this certain range of hitting my take profit, then I'm going to move my stop to, you know, 1R, 1.5R or something, just so it doesn't do that again. But I never actually finalized it. And because of that, because I didn't know what to do, it just bit me in the butt today. I ended up just basically getting in an inner monologue argument with myself over, okay, if it breaks this point, then that's when I should get out. And then it break that and then come back. Oh, it's going my way again. It's still holding structure. So, okay, we'll go ahead and sit in it for a little longer. And yeah, not happy with the way I ended the week.
You just kind of get caught in that loop, right?
Yeah. And and then just watched it basically go from what would have been about a 60 point trade to minus 30.
Ooh. Damn.
Yep. That's painful. But the positive is that there's a lesson to take away from that. And guess what? I will have Monday.
A moving stop loss?
A plan on how to move my stops. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Well, especially when it gets so close to the take profit, you got to at least be like, well, Let's make it so it won't be a loss.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because that, it was the mindset that that put me in that mm-hmm. I really, really the downfall. Like, it would have been so much better to take less profit and still be profitable and still have it go and hit my take profit, you know, rather than turning a day that would have been green into a red day.
And when it gets so close, I don't know how to defeat that emotional experience of you're never going to be able to look at it and not feel like I lost that money.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like it was yeah. all the way up there and it was so close to getting filled and then it turned around. Like if I just said, oh shit, and marketed out, like nope. I would have got out of that money. I lost that money. Not like, oh, I'm just following the plan, just following the strategy.
And I think some of it kind of ties into like dreams, right? Right. Like once you've closed the trade out, it's like a lottery ticket you've scratched. Until you scratch it, you can still dream about yeah. the win. But once you, you know, actually, you know, scratch the numbers off, or once you let the actual trade resolve, then you can't dream about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Something to reflect on for sure.
All right. Should we, make a bet?
Okay. You got any ideas for a bet pick?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got a big one.
Is it shorting any bank stock?
It's not any bank.
Oh, which
but
bank?
But it is shorting a financial asset management company.
Which one?
Owl. OWL.
OWL.
Blue Owl Capital.
Ooh, what happened there? That was a big sell-off day.
Yeah, I don't think it's done. I think it's just paused at this resistance where it's consolidated before.
Yeah.
I think this sucker, it saw a high of 14 and it's come down and it clanged on 10. It's at 10.23 right now, but I think it's going to get down to 8.
I mean, if you look, XLF looks the same. I think a few other banks I looked at kind of look the similar. Bank of America, Wells Fargo Corporation looked like it was actually Wells Fargo looked maybe a little bit worse because it actually broke out of the consolidation it was in.
Yeah, this I was doing a FinViz screener of wedge up strong,
mm-hmm.
and Owl had a strong wedge up, but it thanks to it this news it broke out it. That wedge.
All right, so you want to go Owl, huh?
I like shorting Owl. But, you okay. know, if you've got something that you want to pick.
I was going to take a look at Salesforce because it rejected off of 193, but I'm afraid that our stop would end up being a little wider than we probably want. I think Owl looks like you can probably put a better stop in there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if I'm taking Salesforce, I want my stop like above that peak from the earnings gap. And that, you know, that puts us $10 away from where the shares are at right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I say we stick with Owl. So
yeah, you like that one?
What's the parameters?
Well, if they were to, you know, looking to go short.
Yep.
I don't want them getting over. It's such a high percentage. But looking at it, I'm like $11.30.
Well, this is Joel's money, I guess, so we shouldn't really worry too much about it.
Okay, yeah, we'll put the stop at 11.33.
Above the 200-day moving yeah. average?
yeah, just right above it. yeah, that's right.
Stop us above. I'm just going to put 200-day moving average.
Okay, yeah. Stop at the...
And that's the simple moving average I'm using.
Yeah, I'm looking at the FinViz. It's the simple moving average. That's what I got, too. It's at 11.21.
All right, you want to take profit anywhere? Maybe like 8.50?
Oh, take profit at 9.50. Take half at 9.50,
and okay.
the rest at 8.50 if it gets there.
Half at 8.50. Okay, you ready for a random?
Yeah, what do we got?
Randoms decided to go consumer durables. Ash, ASH.
Ashland Incorporated.
Interesting choice. I mean... Look like he's really throwing us a softball here. This looks just like your bank stock, actually.
All right. Yeah. All right. But they're going long.
Can we short this one?
If you want to. Specialty chemicals.
Oh, this is food specialty candy.
I like shorting financials right now better.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It might be a more long-term play because, as we saw, the Fed is increasing their assets. So maybe the Fed is buying banks to shore them up.
I don't think we can go against Rand. I don't think that's in the spirit.
All right. Owl versus Ash.
Yes. All right. Sounds like a plan.
The final countdown.
The final countdown. All right, Dan, wrap us up.
Oh, wait, me?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, what do I say?
I know, but make it quick.
All right, folks, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks for coming by, but we're closing up shop. We'll be back out with you soon. Like, share, subscribe, rate, love, war, dogs, cats, making love in the rain. Happy trades.
Finger that 5-star rating like your crazy ex used to do it, and take care.
Oh! Finger that 5-star rating like your crazy ex used to do.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, we'll be back at you soon, folks. Thanks for sticking around to the end. We love you so much. Until next time, happy trades.
Bye. Leave that for my wife. Love you, honey.